King's Highway.
Yes,
on my way home.
You did a good job.
Thanks, sir. Praise God. God said if it wasn't so, I'd have told you. I'm glad it's so.
That's right.
John 14.
Amen.
Verse 2. Jesus said if it wasn't so, I'd have told you. Mm-hmm. God said that. He wrote unto us extra things in counsel, and he said, my counsel will stand. But one thing about God, you can count on Him. Amen.
Amen.
All right, I didn't think we was going to have nobody here this morning. It had been just a few minutes ago. We had about two in here. Let's see, we got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, counting me.
Amen.
I stand amazed as anybody else. Amen.
Right.
Hallelujah. Let's open up our Bibles. I'm going to be preaching the last part of this third part message, and I titled it Against Nature.
Yeah.
Now, this is Gay Pride Month, and don't get me wrong, I love gay people. I wish they was here this morning. I'd preach to them just like I'm going to preach to you.
That's right.
Saying God died for me, died for them.
Right.
Saying God loves me, loves them.
That's right.
What they're doing is wrong. Doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure it out. And I'm trying to clear it up because they don't understand that it's wrong.
Right.
So anyway, I started out preaching out of Romans chapter 1. Then I went to 2 Timothy chapter 3. Today we're going to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. But I want to reread those scriptures from the previous messages. And then end up, the last thing we'll read from will be 1 Corinthians chapter 6. If you want to turn there, that'd probably be the best thing. Because
yeah.
I'm going to read it fast. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. That's where we'll take our text from. I want to reread what I've read already. One reason I want to reread it is I want to make sure that I get everything in perspective.
Yes.
Without this Word of God, we'd be blind leading the blind.
Amen.
But the path of the just is as a shining light that shineth more and more until the perfect day. We're not in darkness, we're in light. But some people haven't got there yet. So I want to read, I'll start in Romans chapter 1, verse 18. I'll finish out that chapter, go immediately to 2 Timothy. And I'll read 8 verses. And I'll also read verse 13, but I'll read this fast as I can. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. That's Romans chapter 1, verse 18. That says everything that needs to be said right there in that one verse.
Amen.
But I want to read further. Then Paul, writing to the church at Rome, says, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them. For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Everybody wants to somehow have an excuse, and God said, there is no excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened, professing themselves to be wise. Everybody now seems like they put a lot of emphasis on how many degrees you got. Look, I don't care if you're a doctor or a thermometer, because you got so many degrees. I just want you to know God winks at the wisdom of this world and commands men everywhere to repent. Acts 17:30. Their foolish heart was darkened, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like unto corruptible man and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness. Don't miss this. This is real important. This is relevant for our day and time. God gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves.
Right.
Now, I want you to know that homosexuality is not only a sin, but God said it dishonors the body.
Mm-hmm.
He said it dishonors their own body between themselves. He goes on to say, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and they love to change this, I'm glad it's settled in the heavens, and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen.
Yeah.
For this cause, God gave them up to vile affection. That's what homosexuality is. It's a vile affection.
Amen.
For even their women did change the natural use to that which is against nature. Now, our message is titled Against Nature.
Mm-hmm.
And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use. There it is again. That natural use of the women, the natural use of the men, says that leaving the natural use of the women, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of the error which was met.
Yeah.
And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind, to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whispers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, this is Gay Pride Month,
right,
boasters, inventors of evil things. Don't forget that term, inventors of evil things. I will mention something here in a minute. Disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only to do the same, but to have pleasure in them that do them. It seems like the more you get involved in something, the less incriminating it seems. I remember when I was young, if I'd done something wrong, if I could get somebody else to do it, it made me feel a little bit better about the wrong that I had done. I don't know why it's like that. Well, let's turn real quick to 2 Timothy, and that's kind of what they're doing. They're trying to get the more the merrier in this thing. It doesn't change anything. God's going to bring every work into judgment, whether it be good or whether it be evil, Ecclesiastes 12:14 says. Okay, 2 Timothy chapter 3, we're going to read 8 verses. This know also that in the last days, that's where we're at, perilous times shall come.
Amen.
For men shall be lovers of their own selves. In other words, they think more of themselves than they do anybody.
Right.
Covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. Listen to this. Without natural affection. Now, did you notice that's talking about men? For men shall be without natural affection. Truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent. That means they have no stability.
Right.
Fierce, despisers of those that are good. Traitors, heady, high-minded. Lovers of pleasures, more than lovers of God. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such turn away. I know they're ordaining gays and lesbians now.
Yeah.
But Paul, writing to Timothy, he said, turn away from this. He said, this is ungodly. This is unholy. You see that in verse 2?
Yeah.
For of this sort are they which creep in the houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with divers lusts, which means different lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now as James and Jamborees withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. You see that resist movement. Men of corrupt mind, reprobate concerning the faith. I'm going to drop down to verse 13. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Now that's the two places we read in part 1 and part 2. Part 3 of Against Nature takes place in 1 Corinthians chapter number 6. If you stayed there, well, you're already there. Hold on, I'll be right there with you. In 1 Corinthians chapter number 6, we'll start reading verse number 9. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God?
Right.
Paul says to the church in Corinth, be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. Now this next verse is real important. Because I'm preaching today the last part of this message, you can come out of this wicked sin.
Right.
Paul tells the church in Corinth, and such were some of you. But ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. We'll stop right there. Father, we thank you for the privilege to stand for the Word of God in this crooked and perverted generation, this wicked day, Lord, that we've come down to live in. Lord, the day that you said would come to be. We've made full circle. We've returned back, Lord, to the days of Sodom and Gomorrah. And I pray, God, for your help today. I pray for your blessings today. I pray you'll give us ears to hear. I pray you'll give us a heart to understand. I pray you'll give us eyes to see and know these things, Lord, that I'm going to try my best to bring out today. And I thank and praise you for whatever, Lord, you're able to do with this unworthy preacher. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, I'm preaching against nature. Part 1, we concluded that homosexuality is a sin. Not only is it a sin, it's a wicked sin. You can read that in Genesis chapter 13, verse 13, where God said the men of Sodom were wicked sinners above all men. God didn't just call it a sin, he called it a wicked sin. In 1 John chapter 5, verse 17, the Bible says all unrighteousness is sin. Verse 16 says there's a sin unto death. Romans 6:23 says that the wages of sin is death. But I want you to know James 1, verse 15 says, and sin, when it's finished, it bringeth forth death. I just want you to know that I have concluded, I have took the Bible, I have put the finger of God upon this wicked sin, and we have concluded that it is sin.
Yes, right. Amen.
Now when Piers Morgan asked Joel Osteen if homosexuality was sin, that was a good opportunity
yes,
for a preacher to deliver that message. And he said there's a lot of sins in the Bible. He kind of sidestepped it, kind of dodged it. But I just want you to know the Bible's clear that it is not just a sin, but it's a wicked sin. It's an abomination in the sight of a holy God.
Right.
Part one, we concluded homosexuality is a sin. Part two, we concluded that there are consequences to this sin. I want you to know that God didn't just rain down fire and brimstone from heaven upon Sodom and Gomorrah. Genesis chapter 19, verse 24. But God also made an example out of them when He turned them into ashes, condemning them with an overflow. He made an example unto all those that after shall live ungodly. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 6. And I want you to know the cry of that Sodom that brought judgment of God upon it in Genesis 18, verse 20 and 21. That God came down from heaven to look upon this sin of Sodom to see if the cry of Sodom was as bad as the cry was. I want you to know not only was it as bad, but God did not hesitate to rain down fire and brimstone upon Sodom and Gomorrah. And the Bible said He made it an example. Well, right now there's an epidemic of this sodomy going on right here in America. This is Sodom, America right now. There's an epidemic of little 10-year-old boys.
That's right.
Being found. That have been abused.
Yeah.
Right.
It grieves the heart of God. It grieves my heart. I'm seeing little girls that have been abducted.
Right.
And they're missing. I'm looking at them, Brother Mitchell. I mean, just little innocent lambs.
Yeah, right.
These wolves, these monsters, sexual, perverted, and monsters. They want to abuse these little ones.
Right.
I'm going somewhere in this message. It's going to be rough for a minute. But I just want you to know God's not happy with that. And God is right now. Paul told Timothy that Jesus was ready to judge the quick and the dead at His appearing. He don't care if they're alive or dead. He's going to judge them. He's going to bring them into judgment.
Amen.
And oh my, I only know one escape, and that's the blood of Jesus. I'm glad we sung about the blood of the stained, the old rugged cross.
Yeah.
I just want you to know that blood was shed for them as much as it was for me. I was a sinner.
Yeah.
You was a sinner.
Right.
We're all sinning and come short of the glory of God. And without the shedding of the blood of the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world, we'll all end up in that place prepared for the devil and his angels. Mentioned in Matthew 25:41, it's a place called hell where the fire's not quenched, where the worm dies not, where they know their tongue will pay. If you miss heaven, it's your own fault.
That's right. Amen.
It grieves me.
Yes, it's your own
fault. To hear that they abducted a little girl, Rita, handcuffed her to a tree, and abused her, and she was alive when they left her to die. That grieves me.
Yeah, right.
That's unthinkable.
That's right.
I can think about a lot of sins.
Yeah.
I just want you to know there's something wrong in the mind of someone that would do that.
Yeah, that's right. Lord.
That's I love children.
I do too.
I want to watch them grow up.
That's right.
They're going to make mistakes. I understand that. I don't want to say it.
Right.
I want to have the privilege to make a mistake and learn from it.
Right.
I don't want some guy or who else to think that he has the right to take their life from them.
No.
Now listen, I'm an easy go. I'll tell you right now, that makes my blood boil.
Right.
I'm still a man like passion. If I was to ever catch a man abusing a little boy or a little girl, I would tear him in two with my bare hands.
Amen.
I just listened to a preacher this morning. He talked about Samson. Said a young lion come out and roar against him. He tore him in two like a little lamb. That's about what I'd have to do because I just can't tolerate that. I know God loves them. I know He wants to save them. I know He wants to forgive them. I want to reach them with the gospel. I want to see them come out of it. But I cannot sit by and not do nothing if they're not going to repent, if they're not going to quit. I'll tell you right now, buddy.
That's right.
Old Brother Eddie better not catch them in the act. It'll be a swift kick to the butt, followed up with a few more.
Amen.
Have I got your attention yet?
Amen.
Oh yeah. Now listen, I don't know if the Bible knows this. The Bible says lay hands suddenly on no man. Don't say you can't lay hands on him. Just don't do it suddenly.
That's right.
I'll take my time.
Right.
It said, as much as in you, live peace with all men, if it be possible. It's not always possible. I can't turn my head. I can't walk away. Those cries that touch the heart of God, that's touched by the feelings of infirmities, they touch my heart, especially when it's a little child. Amen.
That's right.
Amen.
Amen. This Sodom America that somehow or another we're promoting this lifestyle.
Yes.
This June Gay Pride Month, right in the middle of this 50th anniversary of this gay right movement, right as they celebrate their 13th famous first of the LGBTQ community. I just want you to know the cries of these young victims are reaching up to heaven even today. Amen.
All right.
You know, Jesus kind of warned a little bit about this. Let me leave this just real quick here. In Matthew chapter 18, he kind of sent out a little bit of warning here. He said, "Woe unto the world," in Matthew 18 verse 7, "because of offenses. For it must be that offenses come, but woe to that man."
Yeah.
By whom the offense cometh. Look at verse 6. "But whosoever shall offend one of these little ones,"
yes,
"it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck."
Mm-hmm. That's right.
"And that he were drowned in the depths of the sea." I want you to know the Bible said it's a fearful thing.
Yeah.
Hebrews 10, 31. "Fall into the hands of the living God. God will tear them." You read Psalms 55, verse 22. God said, "I'll tear you into pieces."
Mm-hmm. That's right.
He said, "There'll be none to deliver you." Our God is a consuming fire. And this bunch down here, you know, you can't legislate God, but they think somehow they can legislate this sin.
Yeah.
They think somehow they can make accommodation for this,
yeah,
and have sin in one hand and God in the other hand. Honky dory, go down there. It ain't like that. God has already made an example, and I'm coming around with this message. He's already made an example out of Sodom and Gomorrah. That ought to be enough.
That's right.
You know, I've come by a real bad car wreck before, Brother Mitchell, and maybe these people was driving too fast. You know what I did? I slowed down.
Right.
Why'd you do that, Brother? That was enough for me to slow down.
Right.
This morning, I was coming to Wincoming Parkway, and 68 and I looked down, I was running 70. I didn't mean to. I just wasn't paying no attention. I was jacking on the phone there. But you know what I did when I saw I was running 70? I slowed down. I knew he was going to get them blues. Yeah. I don't want the blues. I don't want to wreck. I want to do right. I ain't done to do right, but I want to do right. I'll tell you right now.
Amen.
That woe to that man, Jesus said. That man by whom the offenses come. Let me tell you something. God's not got no gender identity issues.
Right.
If you'll notice, sir, he said, it'd be better for him,
mm-hmm,
that a millstone was hanged about his neck.
That's right.
That he were drowned in the depths of the sea. No gender issues with God.
No.
I know we've got down to playing silly games.
Right.
Silly. God made male and female for a reason. I was telling Brother Ed, God ain't got no problem with nothing he created except man. Man's the only one I ever seen. Ed Buckley. The Word of God, the will of God, it just will not do what God made him to do. Everything else, they know who they are. They know what they're supposed to do. They do it. No problem at all. We're the only ones.
Yeah.
Man, we strain at that, swallow camels. I don't care what God said. I'm telling you, I ain't doing that.
Yeah.
God said, we'll see about that.
That's right.
You can go the easy way, or you can go like the Bible said, the way of transgression is hard. You can go the hard way, the easy way. One way or another, you're going to come to terms with God. I'll tell you that right now.
Yeah, that's right.
Oh, yeah. This part three. This against nature message. I want to clear up two things. It won't take me long. You want to have to put your seatbelt on. Number one thing I want to clear up, you weren't born that way. I want to clear that up.
Amen, that's right.
Amen.
I'm going to prove it too. That's a lie straight out of the pits of hell.
Yes, it is.
That's right.
You know, the Bible said it's impossible for God to lie in the Hebrews 6:18.
Yes.
God who cannot lie, Titus 1:2. So I don't have to worry about God lying.
That's right.
But man can't make that boast.
That's
Man come out of the womb speaking lies, and man says, you're born that way.
Yeah.
Now, I want to clear up the fact that you wasn't born that way. If you don't care, turn your Bible and you can see it too. Ecclesiastes chapter 7. Let's just see what saith the Word of God. Paul said, nevertheless, what saith the Scripture. So Ecclesiastes right there at the end of Proverbs, right before the book of Song of Solomon. If you look down there in Ecclesiastes chapter number 7, verse 29, Solomon, the wisest man that ever was, said this right here. God hath made man upright. I told you about those inventors of evil things, didn't I? I said, y'all remember that?
Yeah.
I said, we're going to comment on that. Now look, I read that out of 2 Timothy. I'd burn if I could find it. Here we go. I'm on, Eddie. Well, I know I read it. Inventors of evil things. And I said, remember that. We'll come back to that. I sure can't find it right now. But invented. Oh, I bet it's in Romans. No wonder I can't find it. Okay, Eddie. I'm trying to find something in the wrong place. Romans chapter 1. There we go. Verse number 30. Inventors of evil things. That's what I'm looking for. Now, Solomon, way before Paul in Rome, book of Romans, the church of Rome, he says God has made man upright. In other words, God made him right.
That's right.
But they have sought out many inventions to overthrow the uprightness of man.
Right.
Now look, I've never struggled with the fact that I'm a man. No. I've known that ever since I was able to know anything. I don't have to question.
Amen.
I don't have any gender identity issues. Why does anyone else have? You see what I mean?
Yeah.
The Bible says, woe unto him that striveth with his Creator. God made you what you are. Just accept it. Say, Lord, thank you for making me a little boy. Thank you for making me a little girl. Don't let this world lie to you is what I'm trying to say.
That's right.
I want you to know you wasn't born that way. God's not the author of the confusion. But in an effort to overthrow that uprightness, these lies from a pit of hell, they need to be rejected. They need to be refused. The Bible tells us to cast down every imagination and everything that exalts itself against the knowledge of God and bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5. Take that and swallow it.
Amen. That's right. Amen.
If it don't line up with the book, throw it out the door. Yeah. Amen, brother. That's good preaching.
Good preaching.
See, that's what the problem is. We're getting away from the book.
Right.
Did you know this book's instruction in righteousness? In other words, Brother Eric, I find out what I'm supposed to do, how I'm supposed to do it, and why I need to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And without that book, I'm blind. I got to have these glasses. I told them these are my Mr. Magoo glasses. Without these, I can't see much of nothing. But I'll tell you right now, the Bible's kind of like that too. It's like a compass that points me in the right direction.
Amen.
It points me in the way of the blessing of God. Amen.
Right.
Don't swallow these lies. You, let me say this real clear. Listen and listen good.
Right.
Lara, you weren't born that way, honey. God made you right.
Yeah.
What did you say your name was, young man?
Chase.
When they tell you you're born that way, you tell them they're lying. God made you right, honey. He loves you. He got all you wrote down in a book. He knows the day you was born.
Yeah.
Knows everything about you.
That's right.
Yeah.
Right.
And the world's going to come. You remember that devil come to Eve? That devil said, yeah, you have God said.
Yeah.
See, he's trying to overthrow the truth of what God said. All he changed was one word. Lord.
That's right.
See, God told Adam, all the trees of the garden you may freely eat. He said, but of that tree, now you listen, of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it.
Right.
He went on to say, Brother Mitchell, for in the day thou eatest thereof,
that's
thou shalt surely die. And here come that lying devil by.
Right.
First thing he said to Eve, yea, have God said, you shall surely die. All he changed was one word.
That's right.
He said, you shall not surely die, but you'll be like God, knowing the difference between good and evil. That was about a half truth.
Right.
It did open their eyes. They knew they was naked. They knew they was sin. They tried to cover it up. God came to the rescue. But I want you to know it didn't change the word of God.
No, that's right.
By one man sin entered the world, and death by sin, Romans chapter 5 says. Mm-hmm. Well, let me say in this third message, you weren't born that way.
Right.
And let me say also, you can come out of it. I know they say you can't. No cure. Well, God's got the cure.
That's right.
Yeah.
Amen.
Did you listen to that scripture we just read? And such were some of you. That's clear enough.
Yeah, that's right.
Paul said, by the way, some of you was that before God saved you.
Right. Yeah,
that's right.
Well, I'm glad God's got the cure. Now, I got the cancer. It's terminal. But I'm glad God's got the cure.
Yeah, that's right.
See, Brother Eric, he gave me eternal life. You know how much eternal life I got it all. I mean, Jesus said, whoever believes in me will never die. You know the world, they won't live. Like that. They won't live. No, I have met anybody once. I've met a few fools that said they wanted to die. Now, I remember one time, a lot of people say a lot of stupid things, Sharon. But I was talking to my younger brother-in-law. His name's Garnet Dale Anderson. And he didn't want to really talk about the Bible, but I just got saved and I couldn't help it.
Right.
And I'm telling him, you know, he's going to go to hell. And you know what he told me? And I mean, in just a moment of stupidity, you know what he told me? Now, y'all listening, it's real good. This will probably help me.
Right.
So in an effort to evade what I'm talking about, he said, I want to go to hell. Oh, you know what I did?
Lord.
I said, you want to prove that? You see, I'll prove it. What did it do?
Right.
I reached over and I turned our kitchen range on high. When it got good and cherry red. I mean, I'm talking about reds and curtains.
Right.
I said, just lay your face on that burner and I'll believe you.
Yeah,
right. He said, I ain't putting my face on that burner. I said, you said you wanted to go to hell. I said, that'll just give you a scar and a superficial burn. You know what he did? He fell down right in front of that stove and he said, God, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I don't want to go to hell. You see what I mean? You got to break through that nonsense. You got to somehow clear that up. What he said sounded, you know, relevant. And I said, you don't mind proving that, do you? You know, send them my way.
Right.
I can handle it.
Amen.
I've been around, boy.
Come on.
I've heard every dandelion there is.
Right.
Yeah, send them over to his way.
Right.
They can get past me. I'll tell you what, there's another thing that got to get past, but I don't think it will get past me.
That's right.
Man, I know my Bible. That's one of the problems with the world. They don't know the Bible.
That's right.
They don't know enough to blow their nose.
That's right.
I'll tell you one thing, buddy. I have studied to show myself approved under God, right and divine, the word of truth. I can handle them, bring them on. I was getting ready to preach up on the square one morning, Brother Mitchell. And it was hot. I stopped getting me a bottle of water at the Shell station coming into Glasgow on 31E.
Right.
And I mean, I got my bottle of water. I try to be nice.
Yeah.
This big old guy comes in there, Eric. He's got his leather vest on, you know. And he's riding that big Harley Davidson motorcycle out there. He comes up to me, kind of intimidating, like Rita. On the side of my big Dodge coming diesel truck at that time, there were signs right there. The fire in hell, the party in hell had been canceled due to the fire. I had them great big signs on it. I still got the signs. I ain't got the truck no more, I kept the sign.
Amen.
But on the driver's door, on the pasture door, there's a big old sign that says, Carol said, the fire in hell has been, the party in hell has been canceled due to the fire. So he comes up in a very intimidating way.
Right.
I'm paying my bottle of water. He comes up to me, he says, you mean to tell me they're not having no party in hell no more? And I like I said, tried to be nice. I said, oh, Mr., that's just a sign. I said, I just put that on there and tried to warn people about hell, and I started out that door, and it hit me. I have to admit, but I got salt.
Right.
I turned around, I woke up, this guy, I might have to look up at him, but I said, I'm going to tell you something, man, this is a hell of a party. I said, it's a screaming party.
Right.
They're screaming for somebody to warn people not to end up there. I said, are you sure you want to go there? He said, oh, hold on, man. He said, I'm saved, man. He said, I just pulled in your string. See if you had any salt in you. I said, oh, yeah. Yeah, I got some salt, buddy.
Yeah.
I'll tell you right now, I tried to just kind of let that go, and I couldn't. I walked, started out the door. I have to admit, buddy, that just took its toll on me. I said, I got to go back and tell that man the truth.
Yeah,
amen.
I'm kind of glad I did. Anyway, let me say you can come out of it. Verse 9 of the 1 Corinthians chapter 6 pretty much tells that just about as clear. That's so clear, I don't hang back and argue with it. Paul said, and such were some of you.
Yeah.
Look at that. But now, you see that? You see that?
Yeah.
But you are washed. But you are sanctified. But you are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. I'm glad God's got a care. I'm glad you can come out of it. God says in Proverbs chapter 1 verse 24, He said, I've stretched out my hand. I want you to know right now that God is the helper.
That's right.
And He says, let me help you. Now, I've watched little kids, and they say, I don't need no help. I can get myself in there pretty soon. Can I get some help? I can't do it. Well, that's what we need to all do. Yeah. We need to all say, God, I need some help. Right. Now, I want you to know God's a present help. Psalm 46:1. He's a very present help in time of trouble. But God said, I got my hand outstretched. In Isaiah 5:25, He said, my hand's stretched out still. In Isaiah 9:12, my hand stretched out still. In Isaiah 9:17, my hand stretched out still. In Isaiah 9:21, my hand stretched out still. I want you to know God says, let me help you. I can help you. I can get you out of that. Amen.
Amen.
Sadly, Jesus said, you will not come to me. John 5:40. The same Jesus that said, you will not come to me that you may have life, says, come unto me. In Matthew 11:28. God says, no matter what you're doing, we can work this out. We can take care of it. Yeah. Isaiah 1:18. Jesus says, I won't turn you away. In John 6:37. Pilate said, what shall I do with this Jesus, which is called Christ? Matthew 27:22. Let me just say right now, Jesus will either be your Savior or He'll be your judge. There's no way to do what Pilate's wife said to Pilate in verse number 19 of Matthew 27 when she said, have nothing to do with that Jesus. That's mission impossible.
Right.
I want you to know right now that God loves you. Even if you're homosexual, God loves you. Even if you're a lesbian, God loves you.
That's right.
Even if you're just a plain old rotten hell deserving sinner, God loves you.
Right.
I want you to know not only loves you, loved you enough to die for you.
Amen.
And He's waiting out now. And He says, come to me. I got the cure. I can fix it. Amen.
Come on.
Let me tell you what it's like getting fixed, Brother Mitchell.
Yes.
Sleep like a baby.
That's right.
Have you ever seen any people selling these pillows so you sleep better?
Yeah.
Selling these sheets and stuff, made in Gaza or whatever.
Yeah.
Hey, look, I sleep on rock.
Yeah,
I'm like an old hound dog turning about three circles and I'm asleep.
Right.
How do you do that? Just get right with God. It's a package deal. He gives His beloved sleep. If you got a problem sleeping, just say everything all right between me and you and the Lord. I say that if you're in the Bible, you know why I'm saying that. There's no rest, saith my God, to the wicked.
That's right.
This wicked sinner of Sodom ain't letting them sleep too good. That's why this guy made $1 million selling pillows.
Yeah.
That's why they make $1 million selling these sheets and these pills. They know the problem out there. People can't sleep.
Amen.
You know how Michael Jackson died?
Mm-hmm.
He called a doctor and he said, I need to sleep.
That's right.
He gave him too much and he kept on. He never did wake up.
That's right.
He
slept all
right.
Yeah, he wasn't sleep all right.
That's right.
Yeah. But you know what? He said, I don't care. I got the money. Mm-hmm. That doctor wasn't even trained in the area of anesthesiology.
Right.
And he gave him too much.
Yes, he did.
Chloroform.
Right.
Michael Jackson. Oh, my. He got his money's worth there.
Mm-hmm. It sure is.
Yeah. Didn't have that in the notes. I guess God wanted that in there. Well, let me say this. You can come out of it. You wasn't born that way.
No, you're right.
God's got a cure. God says, come now, saith the Lord. Let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, I'll make them white as wool. Though they be red like crimson, I'll make them as snow. I believe it's right anyway. God can fix it.
That's right.
He's got the cure. All you got to do is just say, I'm sorry.
Right.
I need help. God turns no one away.
No.
He's no respecter of person. He thinks just as much of them as He does of me.
Mm-hmm.
I'll tell you this, if they die in their sins, he said, I've got no choice.
Right.
As I see, I judge. I'm glad he sees the blood.
That's right.
You remember God told Moses, he said, you put that blood on the door. He said, when I see the blood, I'll pass over.
Yes.
You gotta have the blood applied. Amen.
That's right.
I'm glad when God looks down on me, Sharon.
Right.
He sees the blood.
That's right.
Me too. Right.
Yeah, he does.
Now my Passover lamb has applied his blood for you. I get passed over what I deserve, and I get what I don't deserve.
Yeah.
That's why they call it the joy of the Lord. I can just see somebody getting to heaven right now, Brother Mitchell.
Right.
I can just see them taking a look. Whoa! This is their way another guy. There they go.
Amen.
And here they come.
That's right.
I'd be all right, but give them about 1 million years, they'll come down here in a minute.
Yeah, that's right.
I can't wait.
10,000 years.
That's right. I wouldn't miss heaven for nothing.
Right.
And anybody misses heaven is a fool.
It's their own fault.
But the worst way to miss heaven is to be deceived, to be lied to.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, Jesus kind of brought that up in Matthew chapter 7. He said, many have said to me in that day, Lord, have we not cast out devil in your name?
Yeah.
And in your name done many mighty works. And Jesus just candidly said, I don't know you.
Yes.
He said, I never knew you. See, he knows his own. His own know him.
That's
foundation of God standing sure. The Lord knoweth them that are his.
Yeah, right.
It's not a case of mistaken identity. If he knows you, he's coming for
that's
you.
Right. That's right.
If he don't know you, boy, you're going to meet him on some bad terms. Father, we thank you for the privilege today. Thank you for these that are before us. I thank you, Lord, for the crowd. I wasn't expecting this many people to be here. And I pray, Lord, you bless them. I pray, God, you'll help us even right now. If anything needs to be done, I pray, God, that the nail-scarred hand of the blessed Savior that died for all will be the one to do it. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. I'd like to ask everybody to stand. Sister Sharon, if you would please come to the piano. And Sister Rita, if you just sing one verse of Just As I Am, I'd sure appreciate it. Because that's how you got to come. You got to come just like you are. God won't take you no other way. But if you'll come just like you are, God will accept you. God will forgive you. God will wash you. God will sanctify you. And God will justify you. Boy, I like that justification. He's going to present me without spot, without blemish, in His presence with exceeding joy. I'm kind of glad for that. Boy, I've got all kind of... You know, have you ever had a vehicle that had a salvage title? Well, that's kind of me. I've been salvaged. I was total, Phyllis. I mean, they said it ain't worth nothing. God said, I'll take it, I'll rebuild. He rebuilt me, amen. I'm a new creature now in Christ Jesus. I may have a salvage title, but I'm good to go.